Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Globe reporter Diddy Coley has lived in Boston since she started college in 2018. In that time, she has watched the city chew a lot of her friends up and spit them out. Oof. That trend raises a question, Diddy explores in her new reporting. Can young people make it here? And she's here to share with us what she's learned. Diddy Coley, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Talk about how this all came about. Why did you decide to write this piece?
So like you said, I moved to Boston in 2018 to go to college. I was here, you know, through the initial stages of the pandemic. Eventually, after I graduated, I was hired and, of course, have been at the Globe since. And in my time here, I've noticed a really troubling trend, which is that we're not just seeing young people who would naturally leave the city leave. You know, people who get jobs in New York and LA and Denver. I mean, naturally, when you have, I think it's 250,000 college students, a decent amount of them are going to choose somewhere else after. But I noticed that friends and friends of friends who want to be here, people who are looking to build a life, looking to find jobs, to buy homes, really can't do that anymore for a number of reasons. And for that fact, you know, people who identify as Gen Z, which is ages 26 and younger right now, are leaving in droves. And I explored that a little bit.
Could you talk about who you talked to?
Yes. So I talked to 25 young people under the age of 25, and they're across the spectrum of race, income, neighborhoods. They're also in several different careers. I mean, some folks make around $40,000 a year, all the way up to almost $200,000 a year. And we're talking about technology, arts, advocacy, media. So people really who do a variety of jobs.
And I'm wondering, is there is there data, Gen Z data specifically, or data about the exodus of people out of Boston, out of Massachusetts even?
So it's hard to find Gen Z specifically, but you can find like 20-somethings. And in terms of 20-somethings, there's been an uptick in how many people are leaving. Of course, that data the past couple of years is slightly skewed by the pandemic and the fact that the inflow and outflow of people has been affected, you know, whenever there's a surge in cases and such. But those numbers are ticking up for sure.
Yeah, and I remember reading something about where people are going, and it's like Florida, New Hampshire. So they're really trying to find places that are lower cost. But you did a very good job breaking down these people's finances into three categories. That's debt, savings, housing. So we can start with debt. You spoke with Jody Carilla of Cambridge, who has $25,000 in student loans. So take a listen to what she said.
When I talk to friends about money, everyone comes to the same thing, like, I'm not making enough money, and I feel that way too. And if it's gonna keep being like this, I have to go to the next thing. I think sometimes I can get like sad too, because I'm like, when I think about my friend group here in Boston or the people I know, I'm like, I don't think like everyone's gonna be here in like 2 more years.
2 years. And she really spoke on that issue you said of like, I don't really want to go, but I kind of have to go. And you're hearing that a lot.
Yeah. So Jody in particular has built a wonderful community here. She lives in North Cambridge with a couple of roommates and friends. She's just started to kind of really get the feel of the city because she went to college at Worcester Polytechnic. So a little bit outside, but still in Massachusetts. And she's a landscape architect. And she was like, okay, I'm aggressively paying off her debt. About 10% of her monthly income goes towards her debt. And you know, she's quite young. But she's like, okay, if I have to keep doing that, I have to keep paying for housing and essentials here. Eventually, the math just doesn't really add up. And it not only doesn't add up for me, it adds up for everyone I know. So if no one I know is here anymore, kind of what am I shelling out for?
Oh, that sounds a little bit gutting. You said the H word, housing.
Yeah.
So I do. You also talk with somebody else named Daniela Emilia Gomez Rodriguez Roxbury. She has both student loans and credit card debt. So let's play sound from her.
My mom moved to this country. She made all these sacrifices for me to have a better life, for me to have a better life than she ever could give me or that she ever gave herself. Why would I settle for less just because I want to stay in Boston? Or so why would I move into like an attic that just because that's the only thing I can afford?
So That last part of her quote, why should I move into an attic when that's the only thing I can afford, is how much of this is a housing issue in your mind?
A lot of it. I mean, I think the housing crisis goes beyond young people. You know, it's certainly true for anyone who lives in Massachusetts, whether you're trying to buy a home and you can relatively afford it or if you're trying to rent. But the situation is that for centuries, young people have paid the biggest percentage of their income to housing out of any age group simply because that's the stage that they are in their life. That's your biggest expense. You know, it's really what's on your mind. But as it gets increasingly expensive for anyone to live here, the youngest cohort who has the least amount of money in the bank is thinking about it more and more. And the reality is that almost everyone I talk to has friends in, you know, you mentioned Florida, in Tampa, in Atlanta, in some of the Sunbelt cities who are paying so much less for so much better housing, in their opinion, that it's just stopped making sense for them. And the reality is, too, that the only other cities that they see that have comparable housing costs, so we're talking New York, LA, Chicago, they think the other things in those cities are less expensive. And so the cost-benefit analysis when you're running it is like, okay, if I'm going to pay this much for housing, why am I in Boston?
And so even expensive cities could possibly lure them out of Boston because they have other things to offer? You think more of that? Like what kinds of things would be lower cost?
Yeah, I think that Gen Z is considering nightlife. They're considering community. They're also considering like the range of things that you can buy. Like maybe, you know, New York has a lot of really expensive places, but it also has some cheaper places to eat. Like if you wanted to make it work,
right, maybe
you can make it work better there than you could here.
No, I was in New York this weekend and I could say I think Boston's restaurant scene is kind of much more expensive in some ways.
Yeah.
You can't get a $5 breakfast sandwich here in Boston.
Unfortunately.
So on that note, let's go to a piece of your reporting where the numbers start to really kind of oof. How much is a one-bedroom apartment renting for these days in Boston?
The number changes and continues to go up pretty radically, yeah, but it's well above $2,000 for an average one-bedroom.
Yeah, and so, wait, say that one more time.
Well above $2,000 a month.
Okay, some things that I've read have said like up to $2,700 for a one bedroom median. But yeah, like that's the data. But did you talk to young people about their thoughts on housing policies in Massachusetts and what they really need from the state?
I think that they need people to implement some of the long-term solutions quickly. You know, we talk a lot about building more affordable housing, expanding the housing supply in general, because that does have an impact on price, on creating, you know, first-time home ownership programs, on creating, like, just more one-bedrooms for young people who are kind of, you know, getting out of the phase of having roommates, but want to live in a smaller place. But a lot of these solutions have been proposed on a 10, 15, 20-year timeline, you know, the realities of development. And they're like, okay, well, in 15 years, I'm going to be 35 years old, which is when I'm presumably trying to buy a home. So if you're going to, you know, implement rental policy, then that's just not going to work for me.
It's a thing you needed to do a generation ago in order for it to affect a generation here. If you're just joining us, we are talking with Diddy Coley, business reporter at the Boston Globe. We're talking about Gen Z, young people's finances here in Boston, and how a lot of them are thinking about packing up and leaving. So let's turn to savings, because in your piece, you note something interesting. That data indicates that Gen Z is saving more than previous generations. Are you convinced by that? And why?
I am. And I think a lot of that is rooted in a level of existentialism and uncertainty. You know, when you don't exactly know what you're saving for, when everything is getting more expensive around you, when you're coming of age in the era of inflation, your automatic instinct is that you should be putting away more money, which is really interesting because I think a lot of the times there's misconceptions about young people blowing their money away, about being fiscally irresponsible. But a lot of folks I talked about are thinking about saving really intentionally. And if they have disposable income, thinking about investing really intentionally.
What are they investing in, do you think?
Some folks are investing in stocks, you know.
Already?
I talked to one person, his name's Luke Cadigan, and he lives in Beacon Hill, and he just grew up in a family that was very involved in the stock market very young, and he thought about going into finance. He was reading Warren Buffett books at, you know, 13 years old or something like that. And
okay.
And he, you know, he makes a lot of money. And so he's been, he's been really involved in the stock market.
So when you talked exclusively to people under the age of 25, it is pretty common for people in that age range all across the U.S. Not to have much of a financial cushion, because it comes with the territory of being at the very beginning of adult life. So in general, like, how is that? What does that mean? I want to know what you think that means for the Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just going back to that housing conversation, if we take forever to, or if we take years to really fix that, I mean, what do you think is going to happen in the next few years in the Commonwealth?
Yeah.
And to the Commonwealth's economy, what's the effect?
So we'll answer that in two parts. One is that folks that I talk to are not only talking about the amount of money they already have saved, but the potential for saving. How much they feel like they could put away if they got, you know, a little bit of a raise, if their career continued to grow. It still doesn't feel like enough to them because of how expensive Boston is. And how that affects the Commonwealth is it really brings up the question of, one, how do we retain right now the young population and the vibrancy of the city? Because I don't know anyone who would disagree with the fact that young people bring a lot of Boston's culture, a lot of its energy, and honestly, a lot of its workforce as well for some of these entry-level jobs that we have. Then you're thinking about the future. Let's say 5 years, 10 years. If all of the 24-year-olds now feel like they can't stay in Boston, in 10 years, they're 34. They're the crux of the workforce. They're having kids, they're buying homes. And if that population just doesn't exist, Boston is going to keep getting older, more rich, less accessible. And I think a lot of city and state officials are starting to think about that and how to address that both fiscally, but also with social policy, nightlife, et cetera.
And I can attest to that also reporting a lot on business is our workforce is really shrinking. And we keep complaining about that.
Yeah.
But then you're talking about how this problem is going to be even exacerbated. Diddy Coley, I appreciate you so much. Just really quickly, any other interesting stories you're following?
Oh, what I'm looking to in the future. First day of outdoor dining. That's a big thing.
Oh, heck yeah.
Other than that, summer air travel is a big thing. You know, those are kind of what I'm looking at next.
I'm excited to follow. But thank you so much for being here to discuss Gen Z and their finances. Good luck to you. Diddy Coley, business reporter for the Boston Globe.